Have you been clothed upon with the power of God? Are you wearing that garment, that mantle, like Elijah let his mantle fall, and when Elisha picked it up, he did even greater works than Elijah? Have you been clothed upon with the power of God? Question. We'll make this a rhetorical question. Think about it. You don't have to give the answer. We'll be here all day. I know you guys. What are you, don't look at me like that. Question. I'm going to stretch you here. Promised I would do it. Here we go. Question. Why was it necessary for Jesus to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Just think about it for a minute. I know you all want to jump up and answer. Think about it. Ponder that. Weigh that. Why was it necessary for Jesus to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Okay? Now, you thought about it? Done thinking? Okay. The standard answer in theology, standard textbook answer, is that all of the miracles that Jesus performed, he performed not as God, but as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He was God. He had been God from all eternity, the Son of God, God the Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit up in heaven. He laid aside his glory and came down and became flesh and blood, became a man, so that he was 100% God and 100% man. We just finished celebrating, well, most of us celebrated that, celebrating that a few days ago at Christmas time. So he was fully God, fully man, and yet he performed all his miracles not as God, but as a man anointed and filled with, baptized by the Holy Spirit. That is the standard theological answer. It's a good answer. It's doctrinally sound. It's orthodox. It's true. In fact, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now I'm going to stretch you. Trust me. Why did God need to baptize or anoint Jesus with the Holy Spirit to do that? Why didn't Jesus just go around asking God to heal people? He was already sinless. He already was in favor with God, growing in grace and in favor with God and man. It wasn't because he had sin in his life. He was sinless. He was intimate with the Father. 12 years old, he's debating with the rabbi, saying, I must be about my Father's business. Man like that should get some serious answers from prayer. I'd want a little 12-year-old boy like that praying for me. Wouldn't you? So let me stretch you a minute. If that is true, and if Jesus could expect his Father to answer his prayers, why did he need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why didn't he just go around praying for folk? What are you doing with this, Susa? Where are you going with this thing? I hope I made you a little uncomfortable. That's okay. Trust me. You guys know me. That's the scary thing. The answer is, you don't need the Holy Spirit to ask God to do a miracle. But you do need the Holy Spirit when God tells you to do a miracle. Ooh. What you talking about, Willis? Let me repeat that. You don't need the Holy Spirit to ask God to do a miracle. But you do need the Holy Spirit when God tells you to do a miracle. Praise God. Now, let's test this thing out a little bit. If you were to ask the average Christian on the street, you'd quote this passage to them. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. Ask the average evangelical Christian out on the street, did God heal everyone that Jesus prayed for? What do you think their answer would be? Say it. Probably wouldn't hesitate. Did God heal everybody that Jesus prayed for? Yes. Are you ready? How many people did Jesus pray for to be healed? They might be a little bit slower in their answer. They might have to say, wait a minute, John, I need to do a little research. I'll get back to you. Well, let me save you the work. I did the research. I am so glad I have electronic Bible software to help me. I don't know how people prepared for sermons 50 years ago. I have researched this and I have personally looked up every account of every miracle that Jesus did in every one of the Gospels. Not only every miracle, but every version that was accounted in parallel accounts by the Synoptic Gospels and otherwise. I have looked it up. I have copied it and pasted it into an 8-page Microsoft Word document. And I highlighted in red everything that Jesus said and every gesture or action he performed in the process of performing that miracle. And would you be interested to know that in the process of performing those miracles, Jesus never one time asked his Father to heal an individual. Don't be afraid of the conclusion I'm going to draw from that. Just accept that. It's a fact. You can look it up. I've got it on my laptop. RJ or Tom or somebody can, I guess you can, put that Word document up there. If you've got a half hour to scroll through 8 pages of this stuff, we'll go and look. It's true. He never once. Now, if you look at those miracles, he always performed them with an authoritative command or gesture or declaration. Now, I'm not saying he never prayed to his Father. He prayed to his Father constantly. He had intimate fellowship with his Father. He got up before anybody else got up. He got off and went off to by himself to pray and have fellowship with his Father. He probably said, Lord, oh, Father, I love you so much. Won't you be pleased? Would you be delighted to perform miracles today and heal folks? Just show me who they are, Father. You know I always follow you. I don't do anything except what I see you doing. I don't say anything except what I see you saying, hear you saying. And I'm sure he asked God to do those. But in the process, everybody say process. Process. In the process, he never actually asked. Now, I'm not saying he never asked God to heal at all. He never prayed to God. And neither am I saying that we should never pray to God. Absolutely, we should pray to God. Absolutely, we should say, God, oh, Lord, do signs and wonders, heal. And if someone comes up for prayer, I might spend 10 minutes just praying to God. Oh, Father, I love you. You are so powerful. I know you have called this person. Lord, I want to see you glorified. I want to see your name magnified. Oh, I pray, God, that you would do a mighty work right now. You would heal this person. Your Holy Spirit would fall on them, that you would just course through their body and let them know your glory and your power. But at some time in the process, I am going to look at that person and I'm going to take authority over that thing that has a hold of them. And in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to speak life into them, and I'm going to rebuke that illness or rebuke that demon or rebuke that disease and command it to leave them, because that's what my Savior did. That's what my prototype did. That's what my role model did. That's what my Savior and King and leader did. And he says, the things that I do, you're going to do these things and greater things. Well, I guess I better find out what in the world it was he was doing. so I can start doing the stuff. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't ask God to heal people. What I am saying is if we're going to do the works of Jesus, how many people here, and I say this humbly, how many people here want to do the works of Jesus? I do. I want to do the works of Jesus. I really do. We need to realize, if we want to do this, we need to realize we have been given, you and I have been given, if we haven't been given, we've been given access to it. But through the Spirit's anointing, we have been given mind-blowing, tremendous power and authority to speak words of blessing and words of life and words of healing and words of deliverance in ministry under that mantle of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we can expect the Holy Spirit to respond with power and action and bring about those signs and wonders and miracles of healing and deliverance. Now, let me clarify some things. I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here. I'm not trying to spend, you know, all this time talking about techniques and procedures and principles and, well, you know, if you lay hands, you really ought to use two instead of one because, you know, blah, 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 or, you know, split hairs over, you know, processes. It's really not about that. So please don't misunderstand me. Here is my point. Here is my heart. Here's what I'm trying to say. I think this will shed some light. There is not a church out there. By the way, do you guys like being in this church?
Yes.
Praise God. I love you guys, man. I love being here too. I'd be here just to get together with you guys. But there is not a church out there that doesn't pray for the sick. Do you believe that? Yeah. They all pray for the sick. You kidding me? We're nothing special because we pray for the sick. Everybody prays for the sick. You can go out here to the deadest, most dried up, stuffiest theological religious institution on the street where you got to put on moisturizer because it's so dry in there that your skin will crackle. And you'll find folks praying for the sick. Any church on the block, you can walk into that place. That place could be so dead, God hasn't shown up there in 100 years. You can go in that place and half the people are falling asleep. Their head is draped back over the back of the chair. Their mouth is wide open and drool has already begun to soak their collar because it's just pouring out of their mouth. And the preacher, if you can call him that, is going on and on and on in some monotone drone that is just excruciating, talking some dribble that nobody understands, couldn't even care less about it if they did understand it. And most of the people walk out the doors twice as lost as they were when they went in the place. And you will find folks praying for the sick. Some little old lady been sitting in the same pew for 65 years. Gertrude. Her sister Bessie just got sick, got a goiter sticking out her neck. I don't laugh. I hate when that happens. And when they ask for prayer requests, does anybody have any prayer requests? Gertrude is going to raise her hand and say, would you please pray for my sister Bessie that God would heal that goiter sticking out of her neck. Can't even get her collar buttoned anymore. Am I telling the truth? You can go to any dead, dried up institution out there that calls itself a church and you will find people praying for the sick. And if you want to be just like them, you don't need the Holy Spirit. You don't need God's power. He hasn't shown up there for 40 years anyway. You don't need the Spirit or the power just to ask God to heal folk. The lowliest pagan, if he believes there's something out there called God, will pray and ask for healing when he gets sick. You don't need the Spirit or the power to do that. God might even be gracious and heal a few folk. But if you want to do the works of Jesus, If you want to do the works of Jesus, glory to God. You guys want to do the work of Jesus?
Yes.
Cindy, you want to do the works of Jesus, dear? Oh, man, I know. Tim, you want to do the works of Jesus? I know Patsy does. I know David does. If you want to do the works of Jesus, you need to realize that Jesus told His disciples, heal the sick. He told His disciples, cleanse the lepers. He told His disciples, raise the dead. He told His disciples, cast out demons. And you need the Holy Spirit to do that.